You are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, learn, serve, and grow together in God's love. You can join us Sunday mornings for contemporary worship at 9 a.m. or for traditional worship at 11 a.m. During the summer, we meet for worship at 9:30 a.m. For more information, you can visit us online at covenantmadison.org.
Happy Reformation Sunday.
Happy Reformation Sunday.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here. It's the last Sunday of October, and that's the time when Reformed churches like ours remember this Reformation that we're part of, this branch of the Christian church with its origins 500 years ago in 1517 when Martin Luther nailed 95 theses to the door of the church. Courageous leaders like Martin Luther and John Calvin helped the church to reform itself, to see things anew, to get back on track where it had lost track, to rediscover God's way, to refocus on God and on God's word. One of the big concerns of the reformers was idolatry, which sounds like a really big churchy word, but it's really a simple idea that people were worshiping the wrong thing in the wrong way, that people were getting their priorities out of place. The reformers were very aware of the first of the two Ten Commandments. You shall not have any other gods before me, and you shall not worship idols or any false gods. And they were concerned that some people who were calling themselves Christians were getting lost and worshiping the wrong things and doing the wrong things. So the reformers, like Joshua, as you heard in the first reading, were encouraging the people to make a choice, to make a clear choice. Choose this day who you're going to serve. And they obviously wanted people to put God first. The reformers were also smart enough to recognize that they did not have all the answers, that they didn't know everything. They knew that God was still speaking. So one of the catchphrases of the Reformation, the words you see in your bulletin, the words you see on the screen, that God was still speaking with this idea that we are a church that's reformed, always being reformed according to the word of God. So the Reformation continues as we open ourselves to being reformed, to being reshaped like a wad of Play-Doh, to being made into new people and being made into a new church. That's really what this idea of always being reformed is about. So we have an openness to God reshaping us, redirecting us, and helping us refine the way or rediscover the way. So that leads us into our gospel reading for today as we finish up our theme for this month on 2020 vision. All month long, as we've approached the year, we're just over a couple months away from the year 2020, we've been thinking about how God's opening our eyes, or at least how we're hopefully letting God open our eyes to see things more clearly individually and as a church. So our gospel lesson comes from the end of Mark chapter 10, where Jesus heals a blind man. If you've been in worship the last few weeks, this account would be familiar to you. Listen now for the good news of the gospel. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, a blind man, was sitting by the side of the road. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth passing by, he cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he called out even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still, and he said, "Call him here." They went to him and said, "Get up, take heart, for he is calling you." So Bartimaeus sprang up and threw off his cloak, and he came to Jesus. And Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus said, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." immediately, Bartimaeus regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way. Thanks be to God for the good news of the gospel. Bartimaeus was one of many people in the gospels who regained their sight. Jesus healed many people of blindness, helping them to see things again, helping them to see things anew. Now, we can look at these narratives of people being cured of blindness in two different ways. One way is with a literal way, that Jesus actually recognized someone who could not physically see and he healed them of their blindness. If, as the Bible tells us, Jesus was able to multiply loaves and fishes and heal people who couldn't walk and raise people from the dead and be raised from the dead himself, then he certainly could open the eyes of someone who was blind. But at the same time that we think about this narrative, this gospel account of Jesus healing somebody's blindness, as we can think about that in a literal way, I think it's also important to think about it in a figurative way. In a way of Jesus opening his eyes to see his life, to see his purpose, to see his meaning just a little bit differently. It's important to remember that the healing of Bartimaeus comes at the end of chapter 10 and chapters 8, 9, and 10 of Mark's gospel. There's a section on discipleship there where Jesus is teaching the disciples what to do and how to live and what it means to be a follower of Jesus. That section on discipleship begins and ends with Jesus healing someone who was blind. So there's a pretty clear implication that being a follower of Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus, means opening our eyes and seeing things anew. That seems to be what the gospel is calling us to do and to be. And it's important to remember that at one point, Bartimaeus could see. In the text, as you heard this morning, Bartimaeus says to Jesus, "My teacher, let me see again." So at some point in his life, literally or maybe figuratively, Bartimaeus could see, but somehow he lost his vision. Somehow he couldn't see where he was going, literally or figuratively. He lost the way, and Jesus helped him to rediscover the way. Most of us don't experience literal blindness. Some of us have glasses, some of us have contacts, and some of us, our sight's not 100%, but most of us don't know what it's like to be literally blind. But I'm guessing that a lot of us know what it's like to be figuratively blind, or at least to lose our vision and to lose our way. Let's pretend that I'm going on a journey, and I start out, and I've got clear vision, and I know right where I'm going, and I start my journey. And I'm walking along, and I'm confident, I know where I'm going, I know where I'm supposed to be, I have my purpose, I have my sense of direction, and then I get about halfway through the journey and something happens. Something happens. Maybe I get distracted. Maybe I see something and I run after that. Maybe I do something stupid and run over here and get distracted by something else. Maybe I get tempted by something. Maybe I fall down and get hurt. Maybe I just get lost. And I don't know where I'm going. I'm wandering around. To get back on track, to get to where I think I need to be going, it helps to have people to encourage me. People who help me get back on my feet. People who help pick up the pieces in my life. People who maybe help me see again what I'm meant to see and point me in the right direction. So having people around who can help us find the way is really important. And that's what we try to do here at Covenant Presbyterian Church. We try to help each other find the way, to get that clarity of purpose, to get that clarity of direction, to help us figure out who we are and who we're meant to be and where we're going with our lives. Because it's really easy to get distracted, to get lost, to get tempted, to do stupid stuff and get off track. Sometimes I feel like the church is almost like a GPS system. We come back together to help us figure out who we are and where we're going and what we're meant to do. Jesus, together through one another, helps us rediscover the way. And we do that in all sorts of ways. We find the way together. I love this picture of the church community. There's a great big copy out in the narthex area. we come together as people and try to encourage and support one another to rediscover the way. And if words are your thing, well, we've got a wonderful church mission statement. And the thing is, that mission statement is filled with we language. It's filled with journey language. It's filled with the recognition that we're in this together, that we need one another. We cannot journey alone. We need one another. That's who we are as God's people. And so as a church, as a community, we try to come together to encourage one another, to support one another, to rediscover the way, to help each other, to let others help us when we've lost the way. And we do that in all sorts of ways, with all sorts of groups and experiences and times together, mission trips and Bible studies and fellowship opportunities and music groups and certainly being together in worship on Sunday morning. Individually, we get lost, but together, we rediscover the way. That reformation, that reformation, that reshaping, that redirecting, that rediscovering, it happens in community. It happens when we gather together. So that's a good thing. Well, not only is today Reformation Sunday, but it's also Commitment Sunday. It's Stewardship Commitment Sunday. And there are three things that I want to invite you to do. And the first thing I need to make note, if you're visiting today, if you've only been here a few weeks, you are free to ignore the first point that I'm about to make here. And that is to fill out a pledge card. The invitation is for people who've been here longer than a few weeks, longer, you know, have a sense of involvement in the church. Our invitation to you on this Commitment Sunday, as we continue this journey together, is to fill out a pledge card, a ministry fund commitment card. They look something like this. Hopefully you got these in the mail if you're on our mailing list. If not, there are copies available on the bulletin board and at the Welcome Center. The idea is to make an estimate of giving for the coming year. It's not a binding thing. It's not a legal document. We know life changes sometimes for people. If you make a pledge and it changes, don't worry. We're not going to send Jeff after you to collect the money or something. It's an estimate of giving to help the church figure out where we're going, to plan, to make a budget, so we can continue doing the ministry that we want to do for the next year. The second thing that we hope you'll consider doing is something new this year, is taking the serving survey. It's a very short questionnaire to give you the chance to express some level of interest in various ministries and programs and volunteer opportunities here at the church. There's a member of this church who filled it out this week and then quickly sent me an email and said, I checked off a bunch of stuff. That doesn't mean I have to do all of it, do I? And I said, you are not committed to life for any of that. It's just to give us a sense of who's interested and where we might need to recruit some more volunteers. We might need some more people to help us serve the coffee that everybody loves to drink. We might need a few more people to help with some mission projects or maybe some music. Or maybe just looking in that survey might make you think, oh, maybe I could give this a try. We have hard copies available, yellow pieces of paper outside the sanctuary here. We'd actually rather if you go to the webpage, click on the Give tab and fill it out right there. It's quick and easy. And the third opportunity for this Commitment Sunday for us today is for you individually to think about the ways that God might be calling you to be renewed or to be reformed or to think about new commitments in your own life. To be a faithful member of this community, to be a faithful child of God. Maybe today's the day that you make a commitment to be part of a Bible study or a fellowship group or a mission project or a music group or maybe even a church committee. There's all sorts of ways to make a commitment like that. Maybe today's the day that you make a commitment to pray and to read the Bible regularly and to really open yourselves to being reformed by God's word on a regular basis. Maybe you make a commitment to do that together with a spouse or a family member. Maybe today is the day you make a commitment to getting the help that you need. Because we all need help sometimes on the journey. We all need help sometimes idols distract us. Sometimes demons grab out at us. Sometimes we struggle with all sorts of hard things in life, and it's hard to do that alone. It's good to be in a community where people are willing to help one another, to lean on one another. Or maybe today is the day, this commitment Sunday, maybe it's the day that you make a new commitment to be a loving and encouraging presence with the people in your life, a spouse, a family member, a neighbor. Maybe today is the day that you recognize that you need to be a more loving presence with someone else. And that might even mean being more loving with yourself. Sometimes we forget to do that. We can make these commitments on this Commitment Sunday with confidence and with grace because God has made commitments to us. The Bible tells us, church history tells us, and our experience tells us over and over again with the gift of a beautiful day like this that God loves the world and God loves each and every one of us. That's a commitment that God has to love us. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ tell us that God has made a commitment to forgive us and give us a second chance and give us new life and new opportunities to start over, get a fresh start, to be reformed and reshaped. And then finally, God has made a commitment, a promise throughout the scriptures in many different places to be with us no matter what. In the end of Matthew's gospel, in the end of Matthew chapter 28, after Jesus has taught the disciples after his death and resurrection, he's giving the disciples his last guidelines and teachings and sending them out into the world. And the last thing he says in the gospel, the promise he makes, the commitment he makes is, remember, I am with you always until the end of the age. God's committed to love us, to forgive us, to renew us, to reform us, and to be with us always. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, thank you for the gift of this beautiful day. Thank you for the gift of this new day. Thank you, God, for the promise of reformation, the promise of making things new, of reshaping us, of remolding us, of calling us back when we wander, of helping us get back on the path when we go astray, of opening our eyes when we don't see what we need to see anymore. Thank you for bringing us into a community where we help one another with grace and humility and gentleness along the way. We pray, God, that you would help us to choose this day and to choose wisely, to choose well, to encourage each other on the path as we seek to follow Jesus into the new and abundant life that you've committed to giving us. Hear our prayers, O God. Amen.